All right, everybody. Welcome to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, main worship service for the morning. We're glad you stuck with us. Hopefully you did. We're going to start with a word of prayer, and then some guys are going to come sing for you this morning. Father, we thank you once again to be able to come to church, and Father, to be able to have church at home for those that are. And we pray that you'll bless the preaching of the Word of God this morning. Hope that somebody might tune in that's lost and see their need for a Savior. I also pray you'd comfort the hearts of the saints, Father, as we're going through some unusual things, which usually serves to disorient us a little bit because we're used to things happening the way we're used to them happening. So I pray you'd help us this morning, Father. May you bless all that come to sing today and the preaching as well. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Number 27. Right. I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad, and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with his word, and then pronounce them good. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed where'er I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread, or gaze upon the sky, there's not a plant or flower below but makes thy glories known. And clouds arise and tempests blow by order from thy throne. While all that borrows life from thee is ever in thy care, and everywhere that man can be, thou God art present there.
All right, let's sing another one, number 212. Number 212.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my part in this I see nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
All right, thanks once again for these guys coming and singing, for the other folks that have showed up to help us technically stay aboard here. A few prayer requests real quick and just a couple of announcements. With regard to prayer requests, let me just say, usually on a normal basis, I take care, when somebody contacts me with a prayer request to put on the prayer list. Sometimes, depending on how much information is given, I kind of have to be careful about how much information I give out to, just standing up here and telling 150 people, too much information. It's kind of adds another layer to it when you guys send me prayer requests for Wednesday night or Sunday night. I hope that you'll continue to do that with the understanding that I'm trying to stay away from using last names with some of the prayer requests. I'm just aware that this is going out all over the world. It's not just our people that have the information once I tell you it. So, one of the things that I need to be conscious of is that. So, if you don't hear a prayer request that you've texted me or emailed me on a Sunday night or Wednesday night, I think I want to start putting out what I normally would announce to you all in an email, so I can still keep a level of confidentiality with regard to specific things that folks would pray for, but the whole world doesn't need to know about, that sort of thing. So just with that in mind, please feel free to continue to send me, text me, email me a prayer request with the understanding that I'm probably going to shave some of that and not always announce here on this format everything, and that I will make an attempt to get email out to everybody on a Sunday night, and for that matter Wednesday night, of all that we talked about for prayer meeting. With that said, let me just mention that Brother Darling Jason and I decided that the Mexico campaign would be postponed. We're still seeking for a date. We're thinking the date might be up in August. It just got so late now. We're shut down church-wise until the governor says at least May 4th. The campaign was supposed to start May 1st. And so not knowing the variables of getting into the country down there, whether the border is going to be open, whether it'll still be open coming back, whether there's quarantine issues and all those things, the Mexico campaign has been postponed. Still plan to make a go of it, hopefully in August. So we'll see about that. Just keep in mind, something coming up really quick here in April is the blowout/missions conference. And again, because the governor is keeping things locked down as far as public meetings are concerned, once again, we're going to do this virtual. And so, again, I'm going to try to avoid using missionaries' names, all of them, other than first names. And so you'll know, those of you that are from Blessed Hope, you know who they are. But just because of issues in other countries and all those sort of things. But that comes up on Wednesday, April the 22nd through Sunday, April 26th. We will be here Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and then both Sunday morning and evening. And we're going to preach two of these guys at each time. There's four missionaries total, and we're going to be preaching two of them each time, and so it'll be pretty much the same format. There's only so much we can do with a format here as far as singing and so on and so forth, but I hope you'll be praying for the conference. Brother Strobel felt it best to not take the risk of what's going to happen later in August or in April. And as it turns out, Brother Strobel was shut down just yesterday. He learned yesterday that the governor of New York is no longer going to allow them to meet with 50 or less people. So he's going to the electronic live stream now, just like we are. So anyway, there's that. Let me ask you to remember to pray for folks on your church directory. If you'll go through there and ask the Lord to show you and remind you of some of the things that folks are going through. You know about Lou Ann's family. You know about Brother Christofferson's family. And you know about, you know, folks, missionaries trying to get back to the field. Aunt Lisa broke her foot. Some of you may not even know it. A few days back, last week. And so we're praying for healing for that. It's not a huge thing. She stepped off a curb wrong. And so just pray that she heals up with that. Guys, jobs. Brother Kehoe got laid off this last week. And Brother Baudette, Brother Steve is still, on part-time. So just pray that things continue, to go well for these folks. Pray the Lord leads the governor to loosen things up a little bit here. We don't have any clue how long this is going to go. We hope not very long, because I miss y'all. I miss seeing real live faces and hollering at a lot of people instead of hollering at just 8 or 10. I like hollering at bigger crowds than this. Anyway, we look forward to having everybody back in whenever we can. So with that in mind, I'm going to have these guys come back, and I think you have a special for Resurrection Day here at this point.
All right, 209.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair like the sea waves fall, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge of mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
All right. Let's open up to a couple places here this morning. First of all, Exodus chapter 12 and Matthew chapter 26. Exodus 12, Matthew 26. I'm in Exodus 12 first. Okay, first of all, Exodus 12. Everybody here is aware, I'm sure, of this being the main passage for the Passover from the very beginning. Notice in verse 3, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them, every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats. And then notice down in verse 11, "And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." Now you know that Passover was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. That's a part of what is celebrated this time of year. I'm grateful for Passover, Resurrection, / Easter. At least they got the time of year right, which they didn't do for Christmas, but at least we know it's the right time of year. Look in Matthew 26 real fast. Let's read first of all verse 2. I'm just trying to establish a baseline here. 26:2. "You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." Now with that read, go down to verse 17 real fast. "Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with thy disciple, my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover." Let's bow our heads there and have a word of prayer. Lord, once again, thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for what is represented by what we're doing here today. Fact is, it's represented that way every time we get together. Father, we have life in Christ because of His resurrection. That was made possible by His death, by His suffering, and by His being buried and rising from the dead. Thank you for giving us such a wonderful hope, Father. We pray that you might make some things real to us today along this matter. Father, this is very much a real news item at this very moment. We should still be enthralled and thrilled by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I pray that you'll please bless us as we desire to come unto thee this morning and worship in spirit and in truth. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Blessed Hope Baptist Church folks that are tuned in this morning know that I don't feel any particular obligation or duty for a theme of the day. You shouldn't take that as hostility because I don't mean it to be hostile. I just mean that it's very, very difficult at times to discern the Lord's mind about what He wants preached, and so to allow man's calendar to dictate that is not something that I've found works best for me. Now, that said, you can relax this morning because the theme is obviously the Passover, the resurrection. We're glad for Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Glad for His rising. What is celebrated today is His rising from the dead. I know that a ton of people celebrate it wrong. I know that a lot of people have it wrong and all those things. But it sure is good to know the truth and to have Jesus Christ and eternal life as a possession. Now, with that said, let me remind you of some things here. Exodus 12 is the institution of the Passover for the very first time. And I'd just like you to keep a rough frame up in your mind of the time frames. That happened somewhere around 1490 or 91 B.C. So that was 1,500 years before Christ came, roughly speaking. Skip forward. Matthew 26 occurs in 33 or 34 A.D. So that is just over 1,500 years from its inception back in Exodus 12. Here we stand on April the 11th, 12th today of 2020. Here we've gone from 1490, basically 1,500 B.C., up to 33 A.D., and now to 2020 A.D. And some folks would have a hard time seeing that it would still be relevant today, but I assure you that it is. Now, this thing, when I look at this, it's a comfort for me personally to study the time spans, the spans of time. It may freak some out. It may be disorienting for others that this thing began 1,500 years before Christ came, was not fulfilled for 1,500 years, and here we are, 2,000 years past that in rough terms. And so we're dealing with millennia here. Centuries, not just centuries, but millennia. And I realize that that may freak some folks out. And so, as with the scorners of our day, where is this coming? You know, where's the Lord you keep talking about all the time? This reminds me that God's cogs and wheels turn slowly. And the fact of the matter is that that's just the way things go. I know 1,000 years is a long time for us. It seems like forever to us. When we start talking about 1,000 years at a time for me and you as mortal men, why, depending on how you count a generation, we're talking anywhere from 10 to 20 generations there. And I know it just seems like a terribly long time for us, but you realize that when the fact is that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. When you consider that, just consider 6,000 years. Well, today is Sunday. 6,000 years ago to God is like last Tuesday. Today is Sunday, and 6 days ago was Tuesday. Now, most of us, I know, don't stop to think about those things, but what God promised and all God's promises came to us less than 6 days ago. Some of them 2 days ago. Some a little less than that. But any of those things were just done in God's time earlier this week. So what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, those things are comforts to me because I'm reminded that God will take care of every jot and every tittle. And the Lord has not forgotten you, even though it's 2020 and even though COVID virus is upon us. Now, besides those numbers that I ran past you earlier, remember Exodus 12 was instituted somewhere around 1490 B.C. And so that's a long time ago. That's 3,500 years ago for us. It goes even further back in some ways because in 1892 B.C., so that's 3,900 years away from us, Abraham in Genesis 22:7 was told that God shall provide himself a lamb. And while the Passover had not yet been instituted, it's easy to see the Passover in it. In fact, you need to go all the way back to 4,000 years before Christ, 6,000 years ago, and you'll find there that while it's not directly stated that God took and clothed Adam and Eve with the skin of a lamb, we're told that they were clothed with animal skins. Yet at the same time, Abel brought forth the acceptable offering from his flock. Well, folks, a flock of, you know, you can think it's a cow or you can think it's some other thing, but the chances are very great that what the Lord killed, going all the way back to both clothe Adam and Eve and the acceptable offering from Abel was a lamb. Now, what I'm saying, folks, is that the lamb, the sacrifice, the Passover, the fulfillment, all the glory and power is the sinners and saints theme in all of time and eternity. You can go all the way back to before time began where Peter says, that lamb was foreordained before the foundation of the world. You can roll things forward to the second advent of Christ, Revelation chapter 6, where men crawl into holes and beg the rocks of the mountains to fall on them so they can hide their faces, themselves rather, from the face of the Lamb. That's 6,000 years past the beginning. 7,000 years past the beginning, the Lamb is the light of New Jerusalem. So what's the point? The point is that Lamb is the theme for both saints and sinners, from before the beginning all the way out to the end of the end. You've heard the State of the Union Address. You've heard the State of the State Address. I'd like to talk to you this morning about the State of the Lamb 2020. We have rattled off some dates here and, you know, going all the way back to the beginning, to the creation. And seeing as the Lamb is the consistent emphasis in every age, I'd like to preach to you this morning on the State of the Lamb. It's 2020, April 12th, 2020, Easter Sunday, 2020. And I wish you were here for it and all those sort of things, but there are some things that struck me when I was thinking about this and the fact that it's applicable today as any day of the past since the resurrection of Christ, that the Passover was fulfilled in Christ, and since then, every year has rolled around the day that Jesus Christ, by anniversary, rose from the dead. And it ought to matter for folks. And it just struck me that this thing that we're in right now, there were just some things that really made an impression upon my mind. First of all, let me mention to you, first point, the prevailing ironies of the hour. We're talking about the state of the Lamb, 2020. Well, there are, first of all, prevailing ironies of this hour. Everybody that you know in this country and most other countries are living under the circumstances with the coronavirus, it seems, as the ominous cloud over our heads and all those things. Social distancing, all the streams of numbers and fractions and percentages that keep rolling down our way from the news media, and presidential updates, percentages, mandates, controversies, and who's really right and who knows what's going to happen and all those things. Is it not an irony? Does it not strike you as an irony that here we are on Easter Sunday? This has been Passover week, and we're on this week of all weeks, with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, its anniversary, that we are all here, and I say we loosely, but in America, the concern is about death. The concern is about, here we are on Easter. Christ rose from the dead, the victory over death, and here we are concerned about these things. Don't you find that to be an irony? It's ironic, don't you think, that it's an irony that shouldn't be overlooked, is what I'm saying. Now, first of all, let me talk about death for a minute. Back in Exodus 12, that was the issue. Life versus death. Those that had the blood over the door, they were good. Those that didn't were going to have their firstborn killed by the destroyer that night. In 33 AD, in Matthew 26, here's the Lord Jesus Christ. He dies, and 3 days later, he rises from the dead. The issue was death and life. The irony is great because here today, April 2020, everybody's obsessed with death. And here we are at the anniversary of the Passover, of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and everybody's captivated by the statistics, by the flow of numbers, by the percentages, and who's going to die and who's dead and who's not going to die and who might die and maybe I'll die and all those things. Isn't it ironic that this season of the year, we are peaked out on everybody's preoccupation with dying, with this disease? Now, I'm going to read you some things here in a minute. I'm going to read it to you because, again, not to be hostile, not to be controversial, but only to say that men have been dying for a very long time indeed. You do realize that for as long as there have been men, after Adam and Eve fell, men have died. All of them have died, except for Enoch. All of them have died. And I just want to say that with everybody's preoccupation, what I find ironic about this, folks, is that for 35 years, well, really beyond that, because I'm in the ministry for these 30-something years, and then I was right with the Lord some time before that, a few years, for 35-plus years, I have been trying to get the men around me interested in death so I can talk to them because I have the answers. And nobody's interested. It's been a rare individual that's truly interested in death. Even at funerals, folks yawn and just want to get out of there. They're not interested in dealing with the issues of death. They're not interested in seeing what's on the other side and how to get out of it and all those things. It's ironic, is it not, that in this day of all days, when Christ rose from the dead, all of America sits before their Fox News chart trying to see how many died last night. It's ironic. And I just say, first of all, it's very important to realize that men have died for a very long time indeed. I don't say this to scare folks, In fact, I say it to comfort them. I'm comforted by the numbers. I don't know if you know it or not, but there was a plague back in 165 to 180 AD. It's called the Antonine Plague. It killed 5 million people. They think it might have been the smallpox or the measles, but they're not quite sure. In the mid-730s AD, there was a Japanese smallpox epidemic that went through that killed 1 million people. In 541 and 542 AD, the plague of Justinian swept through the Roman Empire. There were 30 to 50 million people that died. That was not called the Black Death or the bubonic plague back then, but that's what it was. That's what came out of it. In 1347 through 1351, the Black Death swept through Europe and killed 200 million people, folks. 200 million people. Smallpox outbreak. That's a new word. That's a good one for you. From 1520 onward and killed somewhere around 56 million people. In 1665 alone, there was a great plague that broke out in London. It once again was this bacteria from the fleas that came off of rats. It was the bubonic plague. It was the Black Death. But in London alone, in 1 year, it killed 100,000 people. The Italian plague was the same thing of 1629 and 1631, killed 1 million people. The cholera pandemics swept through and killed over 1 million people in the 1800s and early 1900s. I can go on and list many more, but the Russian flu in the late 1800s killed 1 million people. Spanish flu, as many of you know about, in 1918 and 1919 killed 40 to 50 million people. Asian flu in 58, 1.1 million people. The Hong Kong flu in 68 and 70, 1 million people. The HIV epidemic from 1981 onward, 25 to 35 million people. You say, what are you saying, Brother Stevens? Well, what I'm trying to get at this morning is that men have died for a very long time. And I'm going to give you some more statistics here. And again, I hope that this doesn't get old to you. These are comforts to me, and because I want things in perspective. It's one thing to say, you know, 18,000 people have died in America of coronavirus. Yeah, but put that over 330 million people, and 18,000, though tragic and not acceptable, looks quite a bit smaller. 105,000, as of yesterday, 105,000 deaths have occurred worldwide from the coronavirus. As of yesterday, 18,800, so 18,800 U.S. deaths have occurred from coronavirus. That's a 3% rate of death for confirmed cases in the U.S. Now, of those cases, 98% of the deaths revolve around pre-existing conditions. They say they died of coronavirus, but they may very well have had pneumonia as well or some other thing. Now, that means that only 3,700 deaths have occurred, 3,700 deaths have occurred in the U.S. That were not pre-existing conditions. Now, since I've told you before that the flu kills somewhere between 40 to 50,000 people every year in the U.S., let me throw a number at you. Right now, with the better part of 20,000 people dead in America from coronavirus, let's just use the number 50,000, just for a base point for a minute. If 50,000 deaths, as with the flu, occur with coronavirus, that means that you have a 0.015% chance of dying from it. Now, what that equals, just so you know, is once you break down into fractions, is one person in 6,600 people will die from coronavirus if 50,000 people die in the U.S. Now, I don't know how many of you have been in a room with 6,600 people. But if you get a room big enough for 6,600 people to be there, and you're one of the people, then you have a 1 in 6,600 chance of dying from the coronavirus if 50,000 people die in the U.S. Now, that is a pretty low fraction, and what I'm getting at here is that's the good news, correct? Isn't it good news that you only have a 0.015 chance of dying from coronavirus if those numbers flow right? I can tell you this. I got bad news for you. You have a 100% chance of dying of something. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. You will, perhaps not this year, I hope not, you will die of something or the other. Maybe it's just old age, and I hope it is, but you're going to die from something. And I'm just saying here, I find it ironic that here we stand, having for all these years tried to interest people in death, and all they can think about now is death, and they have no answers, and they're still not listening to the answer. Well, that's one of the ironies that I find in this death. The present ironies. Let me tell you another irony real fast. I'll try to move through these things quickly. The idea of disease. People are completely obsessed with the coronavirus. And I understand why it's been in the news, et cetera, et cetera. But they completely ignore the flu. They completely ignore TB. They completely ignore malaria. All they're concerned about is this disease, coronavirus, that comes from Wuhan, China. Fine. Very good. For 30 plus years, we have been trying to get folks interested in realizing they have a disease. The disease is called sin. And we have the answer. We know where it came from. It started at the base of a tree. We know the answer, and it's going to happen. It's killing everybody. It's unavoidable. And yet nobody's interested. But on the day that our Savior fulfilled all things so that it's finished and sin can be taken care of, on the very anniversary, this country is in a panicodemic. Over the fact that there's this one disease that's killing these people. But they won't listen about the disease of sin. Would you also notice one of the ironies is the fact that everybody's obsessed. They're focused into, they're obsessed with a cure. They're obsessed with cleansing. Hand sanitizer, hand washing, face masks, rubber masks. There was a lady on a community billboard, electronic billboard, you know, email, the other day in our area. Turns out that she's a postmistress. She's a lady postman. And she was telling us to all make sure that we go out and clean off the handles of our post boxes. Nah. You can clean it if you want. You say, what's the point? They're obsessed with cleansing. I've been trying to get folks interested in cleansing for 30 plus years. We live in a town of 3.5 million people. The state only has 5 million. So most of them are around here within about 60 miles of where I stand right now. We've been trying to get folks interested in the cure and a cleansing from a disease that was going to kill them for 35 years. And nobody's been interested. But right now they're in a panic about cleansing and about a cure. I find it ironic. The answer's right before them. Some of them have been in church this morning worshiping falsely because of an empty tomb. And they've still not received the answer. I find it ironic that folks are separated. I've heard all I can take just about mitigation, about the 6-foot distance. One of the experts the other day said that we will never go back to handshaking again in this country. Well, I don't know about you, but I'll shake your hand right now. But everybody's preoccupied, obsessed really, with separation. Gloves, masks, stay at home, no work, distance yourself from me. If you get near me, you might kill me. I'm not for sneezing on anybody, folks, but don't you find it ironic that we've been trying for years to get folks to separate themselves from certain elements and life. And even Christians, once they get saved, to separate themselves from different elements of life. And now all anybody can talk about is stay 6 feet away from me. It's ironic. It's ironic. Now, I'd like to say lastly along this line, we've been trying to tell folks for 30 plus years to change your behavior. And we've been advising them that if you will receive Christ as your Savior, He'll make you a new creature and He'll change you. And how ironic is it that in this day and age, with the coronavirus cloud over everybody's head, that everybody's in such a panic that they're busy changing the way that they live. It strikes me that what we're seeing here is a counterfeit gospel. We've been preaching the elements of all these things for a very long time, and precious few people have listened. We go and stand on a street corner week after week and preach aloud to the open public, to anybody that will hear, and it almost never happens that anybody comes up to us to ask, how can I get that? And yet here they are under a coronavirus, and they're preoccupied with all the worldly elements of what we've been trying to get across to them spiritually for a long time. What Jesus Christ fixed by His death, burial, and resurrection. I find that ironic. The prevailing irony of the hour. Okay, I want to tell you some more about the state of the Lamb 2020. There's secondly, take your Bibles, turn to John. John chapter 19. And you Bible believers know the verse by heart anyway. But John chapter 19. And I want to talk to you for a minute about the promises fulfilled in the past. We've looked at the prevailing irony of the hour. I want to mention to you the promises fulfilled in the past. In John chapter 19 and verse 30, Christ is dying on the cross. Then Jesus, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, "It is finished." And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. He died. But in dying, he said, it is finished. Now, man today, this very hour, April 12th, 2020, waits with bated breath for today's statistics to come out. They wait with bated breath for tomorrow's next presidential update, the governor's next move. Will the curve flatten out? Will the mitigations of 6 feet of distance between everybody, will shutting everything down and stopping the economy, nobody even goes to work unless they're necessary. What effect will that have? Will our hospitalizations decrease? Will the number of cases confirmed decrease? And it just goes on and on and on. Maybe it'll be over soon. I sure hope so. Oh, what will happen if it's not over soon? I mean, this is a drama day by day in 7 billion people's lives of life and death being played out. They're scared to death to get it and die. And yet, I read in James that no matter what happens with coronavirus, that lust, when it conceives, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's done, brings forth death. I read in Hebrews chapter 2 that men have all their lives been subject to the bondage of death. I read where it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this a judgment. So here we are, April 12th, 2020. It's on Passover Day. It's Resurrection Day, the anniversary of Jesus Christ's resurrection. And while everybody is in dramatic fashion all over this country, sitting before their TVs, radios, and cell phones on the edge of their seats, waiting for the next update, they're waiting with bated breath. It's a drama playing out before our very eyes. And yet, because of what Christ did for me at Calvary, the drama of life eternal and death eternal is over. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying what Christ did for me as far as my eternal life is concerned, it's already in the books. There's not even anything else to play out. I'll address what you may be thinking here in just a second. You know what the Bible says? As surely He hath borne our griefs. You get that? He hath borne. It's a done deal. He hath borne our griefs. He hath carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. It's a done deal. All we like sheep have gone astray, turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. 330 million, for the most part, Americans sit around in something of a panic with bated breath, waiting on the next development. How will this drama of mortal life and death play out? I say to you this morning that for a long time now, for me and for most of you, maybe even all of you that are listening to my voice, the drama of eternal life is a done deal. I mean, what was necessary was Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Now it's a done deal. Having received Jesus Christ as my Savior, it's a done deal. I read where Christ said, "It is finished," in the passage we just read. 1 Corinthians 15 says the gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Done deal. Was buried. Done deal. And was resurrected from the dead according to the Scriptures. It's a done deal. In Revelation 1, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin. It's a done deal. You understand? My salvation, there's no drama in my eternal salvation at all. It's a finished thing. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, "He hath called us as a royal priesthood, as a holy nation, as a peculiar people. He hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light." I would read to you, because I didn't trust myself to quote it all correctly, Ephesians 2. This is a done deal. And you saved? You hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. You understand, you're not dead anymore. You are quickened now. It's a done deal. Wherein in time past, not now, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. It's a done deal. There is no drama. It's been fulfilled for me. I still have yet to die mortally, and we'll see how that all plays out. I may die of a heart attack. I may die of an aneurysm. I may die of any number of things. I may die of Corona 19. I may well do that. But as far as eternal salvation is concerned, it's a done deal. Now, we have folks sitting around on the edges of their seats with the drama playing out. And will they get it or won't they get it? And if they do get it, will they die or will they not? And so on and so forth. And as far as eternal life is concerned, as far as what Christ has done, it's finished. It's something in the past. Do you understand? We looked at the prevailing irony of the hour. How about the promises already fulfilled? This is finished for us. And hath quickened us together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. We're there now. It's finished. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Let me just read you Colossians 2 while I'm reading. And ye, saved people, are complete in him. It's a done deal. Which is the head of all principality and power. In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, spiritual baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. When he arose, I arose. It's finished. It's finished. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened. It's a done, finished thing. together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. I am forgiven. There's nothing left to be done. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled the principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He's already given the devil the black eye for me. I've been won. My salvation's complete. It's finished. The promises have been fulfilled in the past. We may stand today in a prevailing irony, hour by hour, as things play out. But I want you to know that for me, it's finished. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. I'm justified now. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that walk after the flesh, or after the Spirit, and not after the flesh. Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nobody. It's a done deal. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. It's a done deal. Now listen, every lost man, every minute of his life, if a guy's lost, lady's lost, there's a drama that's played out with eternal consequences. And the fact of the matter is that any blood clot, any stroke, any heart attack, any a falling rock, a falling piano, a careless driver, a tick bite, a dog bite. There's a man in our church who, some years ago, his brother, a stepbrother, was bitten by a dog, and he allowed over the next few hours for the wound to go septic. And by the time I got word and got to the hospital, he was a day or so into it. And honestly, folks, that is the worst. That is the worst sight I have ever seen. I have seen cattle disemboweled. I haven't seen men disemboweled, but I sat and walked in and looked at that man as he lay there. He was black all over. He looked like he had been charred from the infection. A simple dog bite is able to do that to somebody. And that's played out. Anything can happen to somebody that's lost. A work accident, a mosquito bite that goes wrong, some minor infection, slipping in the bathroom, stepping off a curb wrong, bad balance, not looking, texting and driving, or somebody else texting and driving. And then you can add to all that COVID-19 and malaria and TB and neurological problems and immunological problems and all those things. And it is a that's a drama fulfilled in the present. Every single day, somebody that's lost lives. And I, as I said, I grant you that there may be drama in my mortal death one day. I don't know how I'll die, and you don't either, as far as I know. But the fact of the matter is that as far as the eternal drama is concerned, there's no drama at all. It's finished. That's been decided a long time ago. The promises fulfilled in the past. Let me, having shown you the prevailing irony of the hour and the promises fulfilled in the past, let me take you to the provision awaiting in the present. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 real fast. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I've given you a lot of information, and I'll be winding it down here pretty quick now. But 1 Timothy chapter 4, I know how receiving a bunch of numbers can go just over audio. We're not in better shape to write everything on the board. But 1 Timothy and chapter 4, go down to verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God. Notice who is the Savior of all men. Well, no problem then, right? If God is the Savior of all men, if Christ is the Savior of all men, then all men are good, right? Only not. Who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe? Only those that believe are the ones that are saved. And what does that mean? It means that Jesus Christ was the provision. While my salvation is finished of a long time ago, the provision waits in the present for somebody that's not saved. Provisionally, Christ died for all men. Provisionally, Christ is the Savior for all men. But if you don't believe, if you are not born again, you will die and you will go to hell. And Christ's death, suffering, having been flayed alive, His piercing, His bleeding, His agony, and His reproaches, all are lost. They're no good to you. They're no good to you. His resurrection and triumph and victory over death and sin and hell, they're of no account to you if you reject Him, if you don't do something about it, perhaps even today. You are standing in a day where folks now look around, they're desperate. These folks we've tried to deal with about disease and about death and about the answer and about the cure, they all stand around now, oh, if we only had a cure, oh, if we only had a vaccine, oh my, a vaccine is still 18 months or 2 years away, oh, what will we do, oh, if we only had more time, oh, the governor of Minnesota expands and shuts everything down so we can't go to church normal because he wants to flatten the curve a little bit so that one day when there are hospitals can carry all the folks that are supposedly going to go to the hospital. I understand his concern. But everybody's worried about it. If only we had. So in the meantime, stay back 6 feet from me. Put on your gloves. Don't sneeze at me. Don't look at me. Stay 6 feet away in the Walmart line. Get away from me. Because there's no cure. But there is a cure. There is no shortage of supply. There is no misadministration. There is nobody stealing from a stockpile somewhere the shot that would save your life. There is no question about whether it works. There is no question about its viability. Come unto me, says Christ, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly at heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls, not your body. He is able to save to the uttermost, them that come unto God by Him. That's a provision awaiting in the present. I am saved. I don't need a provision. I have received the promises. They are a done deal for me. But somebody who's not saved, the provision still waits. After 2,000 years, it still waits. After all the times and all the things that you've said about and against Jesus Christ and perhaps His Father, the provision still waits for you. The provision still waits for you. And it still waits in the present. It's still there for you. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, let me take you for one last moment back to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. And I take you back here. I know this is Israel. I know it's not the body of Christ. But I preach to you about the prevailing ironies of the hour. How ironic it is to me that for all these years we've been trying to get folks, the public, interested in death, interested, you know, in the cure, interested in the disease. Interested. I mean, everybody's separating. Everybody, get away from me. We've been preaching that for years. But the prevailing ironies of the hour, and then I talked to you about the promises fulfilled in the past, how salvation is finished for anybody that'll believe. And just believe. You don't even have any works to do. Just to believe. Then I'd say, I've talked about the provision awaiting in the present, somebody that's unsaved. I mean, it's still waiting there for you. Just like I received it freely, there have been no complications added since. I've been saved for a long time. 48 years. I've been saved for a long time. And there's been no complications. It's not harder to get saved and get what I've got than the day I got saved for you here. Here it is, 2020. And you can get saved the same way that I got saved back in 1971. Now, The last thing I have for you is this. The prospect for any moment. The prospect for any moment. In Exodus chapter 11, at the institution of the Passover, would you just notice for me that there is a great Exodus awaiting to happen in verse 11? And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded and your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. As those folks ate that Passover, they knew that that night they were leaving. That night they were getting out of Egypt. And I just want to say that that's a great hope for us, because knowing that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, knowing the ironies of the day, knowing the trouble that's come upon us, we could be out of here within the next 5 minutes. But the prospect for any moment. It is ironic that the Passover was fulfilled all the way back there in 33 A.D. And as we stand here right now on April 12th, 2020, there is nothing else prophetically that has to happen before we get out of here. It may be a year, it may be a month, it may be 10 years, but there is nothing left that has to happen before that stops the Lord from coming back and getting us today. You know, people right now are scraping and scratching and hoping and pleading and begging God. And maybe this is the first time God's heard their voice in years, but they're scraping and begging for the Lord to spare them from this disease so that they can finish their life here, the next 20 years or the next 30 years, so they can enjoy their retirement, or so they can enjoy their grandkids, or so they can enjoy this or finish that. I'm only here to say that there's nothing that any of us needs to have fulfilled in us. I'm here to say that the prospect for me and you, like those Israelites that night that the Passover was instituted, there is nothing left to do but get out of here and to be faithful until that happens. Man obsesses about what's left to him. He wants more time on earth, and none of us need it anymore. None of us need it anymore. The Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. And so there's a saying that's written, death is swallowed up in victory. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing else that has to happen. Christ has risen. By the grace of God, we are ready. Anything that needs to have been done eternally was done in the past. All that's left is to serve Him for just a few more days. But I just wanted to bring this to you this morning and talk to you about the state of the Lamb in 2020. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. You guys can get ready to come. Now, Lord, we've preached for